So you got any other topics for us?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about world events? Or do you want to just keep it on?
Yeah. We could talk about some world events.
I got world events over here on my side of the world. This continent's having some craziness.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
It is.
So my immediate neighbor to the left, Uganda, they just had a presidential election widely regarded as fraudulent.
Okay.
The president decided to stay in power. even though he probably lost the election if it had been legitimate. As it was, the way the votes were counted, he won. Just north of us, the Sudan, southern Sudan, decided to break off, become its own country. A little bit of violence erupting there. Just north of them, Libya and Egypt, whole big can of worms got opened, and Tunisia.
Right.
Did you notice how, like, Tunisia, it was like, protest happens, president is out in about a day, and then you just sort of, like, move on. Like, okay, Tunisia's not in the news anymore.
Right.
Then there was Egypt, and it's like, well, Egypt is, you know, protest, and Mubarak was sort of like, well, I'm gonna resolve this. You know, I'm gonna stay in power, but we'll address your concerns. And then it was like, no, we're still protesting. And he's like, well, we can fix this. I'm gonna stay, you know, I will stay in power and blah, blah, blah. And they were like still protesting. And it was just like, it took him a while to realize basically the protest is about you.
Right.
Like, it's not that you can fix any issues. The problem is you. Like that's sort of the central issue here. And finally, though, he realized it, and it wasn't or maybe there was a military coup or something, but there was no violence. And then Libya decided to start having its protests, and it was like, this is going to be a long, drawn-out thing with lots of violence and big mess.
Yeah.
It was like descend, you know, like Tunisia, very efficient. Revolution happened. Here we go. Egypt, not quite as efficient. Libya, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Trouble.
I wonder, you know, I don't know how long the guy in Libya was in power. Do you know, or not Libya, Tunisia.
42 years. Oh, in Tunisia. I don't know, like, probably, like, more than any average president.
Because I was going to say, maybe it has to do with how long they've been there. Because, you know, I think Mubarak was there for, like, 20 years or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Gaddafi apparently has been there for, like, 40 years, 42 years. And it's just like, yeah, that's who I am now. And if I'm not the president or whatever, the colonel president of Libya, then what am I? Nothing. Whereas it sounded like Mubarak had something to fall back on.
he had some like $50 billion or something to fall back on.
Right. So it's like, you know what? Like, it sucks. You know, but I'm just going to go live in, like, you know, I'll go claim exile in some other country, and then I'll have my billions of dollars and everything will be fine.
Yeah. You would have to pick a country that was totally, like, had very few relations, like the most minimal relations to Egypt, and that needed a large influx of money, like Guatemala or, you know, like somewhere where they're just like, okay, we can, it doesn't matter to any of our citizens that you were the president of Egypt, the dictator of Egypt for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we will process your $1 billion, you know, refugee fee.
Right.
And you can be here for the rest of your life.
You know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if over 90% of the countries in the world would allow him to come and just hang out and, like, be that guy. You know, like, obviously Switzerland should let him do that, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they don't care about anything. Right. I mean, they're like, we're neutral. We don't really care. And then, like, you know, I bet, like, I'd be surprised if any South American country would care.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They didn't care too much about the Nazis.
Yeah, well.
Hey!
And then I feel like Southeast Asia is pretty much open game.
Yeah. You don't hear of too many refugees, though, going to, like, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
It seems like you hear about refugees coming out of Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy was under house arrest for 20 years, and now he's in this place. It's not like, oh, I know. You know why there's, like, because I'm thinking about, like, the major peninsula there in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, Thailand's been having trouble, but that was, like, the most stable country before it started having trouble. You know?
I guess.
And now that it's having trouble, it's like, well, you have your choice of, like, sort of communist countries or dictatorships.
True.
And, or countries that are having kind of upheavals and stuff. Like, not really sure that you want to. You don't. If you were a refugee with, like, a briefcase full of $1 billion, you wouldn't want to go anywhere, I don't think, where the rule was arbitrary.
Yeah, I guess not.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you'd want to go somewhere where you at least had some rights beyond the contents of your briefcase. Because, whoever was in charge could just take the briefcase.
Right. I mean, if anything, you would leave your briefcase somewhere else, and then you would slowly siphon away from it.
Yeah. Like Switzerland.
Yeah, well, you would put it in a Swiss bank account. Although, I thought I heard that they might have frozen in some of his accounts, but I'm sure you could put it in some other account somewhere.
It took him a little while, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was withdrawing heavily.
Yeah.
If he was smart, he had been withdrawing heavily.
Or you can go to the, I guess he's the Caymans or something like that. Like, somewhere in the Bahamas, apparently, you can put your money. Yeah. And then
those countries that allow like all sorts of gambling websites to be there, they don't really have a moral compass.
Well, they have it just points a different direction, that's all.
Yeah.
They live by the pirate code. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like Gaddafi, like, he's definitely putting up a fight, and he doesn't seem to care. You know, maybe you could say about Mubarak that he didn't want to get into a big fight and didn't want to ruin the country by getting into a big civil war, so he left. I don't know if that's a credit you can give to him or not. Maybe I don't know enough about the situation, or, you know, he finally knew the situation when it was against him, but... Maybe Gaddafi is just like, I don't care, I'm not leaving. You know, I think he said he's going to fight to the last drop or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that Mubarak, in this comparison, he put up a better fight because it seems like there's no way Gaddafi's going to win this. Because even if he does put down the domestic revolution, there's no way that the international community would let him, you know, keep that up, like, if he just, you know, shoots a bunch of protesters, basically.
What are they going to do?
Like,
what would you do?
He's going to count the year or whatever.
What would you do as the leader of another country if you found out that he shot a bunch of, which he did, apparently, already, with, like, jets and stuff like that, right? But, I mean, okay, so he's, like, bombed, like, a protest or, like, shot some protesters or something like that. Like, now you know that, and you're the leader of any country in the world. What would you do?
I don't know. What Obama did is he called a bunch of other leaders.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's like, hey guys, what should we do? What do we do about this guy?
Are you really?
He's looking for sort of a united front to do something, though.
But, I mean, there's no do something, right? Okay, you, like, do sanctions. Like, that worked really well in Iran, I guess, right? And then that's it. Like, you can't, like, go and... I mean, you're not going to go invade, like, another country. Like, we're done invading, right? We're done, like, enforcing. We can't go in and every single country does something wrong that we don't like and, like, take over. I mean, then you have to, like, do the transfer of power stuff. It's like, I don't know. There's not really much you can do short of taking over the country to tell people what to do inside their own country.
True.
I mean, you can, like, no,
so
that's not good.
You will win.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what
I'm,
you're saying.
I mean, I'm not sure. I'm kind of pessimistic. You know, it's like if he... apparently, he's already lost parts of the country. Like, it's a very fractured sort of government. Like, I think he has a very strong central government in Tripoli, it seems like. But outside of Tripoli, you know, it's a little... Because it's a desert, like, because the country is so sparse, that I think it's hard to sort of control the whole thing unless you have a very strong central government. And it seems like he doesn't have that. So in central Tripoli, that's where, like, a lot of his, like, people who are... faithful to him and people who are allegiant to him reside, right? But it sounds like a lot of the eastern part of the country, kind of by Egypt, it's sort of like already shifted into like sort of freedom, and like they're kind of outside the Gaddafi hold or control. So it's like, okay, well, maybe they'll slowly sort of, it'll slowly crumble from outside in. Like all the outer territories will crop. But I mean, the question is then, who's controlling those territories? Is it like, now it's like tribal rule? It's like these small little like principalities that are just like kind of being locally held? Or do you need a central government to sort of like coordinate the whole country now? Or like, is Egypt going to creep in from the east? And then, I don't know who's on the right, but or on the left, but is it Tunisia or Algeria? Tunisia going to come in from the left and say, okay, well, we'll take this third of the country, and then Egypt will say, we'll take this third of the country, and Libya will be stuck in the middle with, like, basically just Tripoli and the south. I don't really know. But it just seems weird that, I mean, he went and shot all those protesters. So let's say he, like, I mean, because if you're a protester, think about it, right? Okay, if you're 20 or something, I mean, that's why, makes you realize why all the protesters are always, like, young students and radicals. Because the minute you have a family or a wife or whatever, and they're shooting at crowds, it's like, okay, well, I don't think I can protest anymore, guys.
Hey guys, this has been a lot of fun.
But I got three kids and a wife.
I have to pay the mortgage down. I'm gonna just move out of the protest right now. Thanks.
But if you want me to like print up some like materials, you know, I can print out some pamphlets. Yeah. You know, I can host a bake sale. You know, at my house. That's, you know, we could do that. You know, but not really going to go out and get shot at by, like, military-grade aircraft.
I'm going to resign from the picket line, but I'm still there, you know, for the email list.
There's any e-petitions I can sign, I'm all for that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll totally sign on that. Did you hear that Gaddafi said that... that the revolution or whatever it is, the protest, was sponsored by Al-Qaeda, and it was all the young people on hallucinogenic drugs?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's got to be all young people, because the old people have too much to lose, I think, right? So it's the young people, and those guys are fired up, the young people, right? So they're out there, so it's easy to marginalize them and say, look, it's all a bunch of young people, and you know what young people do. They get high.
On hallucinogenics.
Like, all the time. And then, of course, he's looking for another scapegoat, so why not? Like, Osama bin Laden and, like, Al-Qaeda, whatever. And Al-Qaeda seems to, like, have no allegiances to any country in the first place. Like, they're looking for a place to nest, to, like, just do their thing, you know? They were, like, hanging out with the Taliban for a little bit, and then they were in, you know... I don't know. They'll just do wherever. They'll do whatever, wherever, right? So why not take over Libya? Maybe that's the next place. Maybe Osama bin Laden will be the president of Libya.
I don't think so. I think he's not willing to pop his head up on any political radar right now.
Interesting point.
Anyway.
But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. The turmoil that's going on over there, all over the world, actually, right? I mean, that.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, like, even over Southeast Asia, when you think about it, there's been a lot of stuff in the last few years about, like, just protests and weird things like that.
And then, did you hear about all the piracy over in Somalia?
Yeah, I guess some couple just got killed by a bunch of pirates, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, whoa, that's kind of weird. And then there's Mexico.
Oh, the whole drug war thing.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it is kind of weird that, like, there's an incredible lack of stability in quite a lot of the world right now.
Yeah.
And yet, unless you are, like, immersed in it, it seems kind of far away. Like, geographically, a lot of this instability is not very far away from me.
Right, right.
I'm probably, like, I don't know. I'm probably like 300 miles from Mogadishu or something like that. You know, like maybe a little more than that. You know, maybe 500 or 800 miles. But it's like, it's a day's drive if you had a highway.
Yeah.
You know?
If you had a highway.
But it's like, well, here things are pretty chill.
Yeah.
There's not really much going on right here. I don't know. there's no point there.
Well, it's easy. It's easy to sort of like take for granted what you have, like water. You know, it's just stability is the next thing, right? Water, food, and then stability. I guess. I mean, well, basically doing Maslow's hierarchy, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wonder how much of this Middle East stuff, because it's like all the Middle Eastern countries seem to be doing it. Like they're all sort of like, it's like a little flame that, or dominoes that topple, right? If Libya fell tomorrow, then it would be another country that took its place, right? Maybe it would be Saudi Arabia, or it'd be Jordan, or it'd be like, you know, some other. I mean, Saudi Arabia is a pretty big one, but I mean, like, all these little countries are just, I think they're being more and more inspired by all the other countries, right? And maybe they're just waiting in the wings for the current domino to fall before they take up their chance to be the next domino, right?
Yeah. Well, there have been a lot of protests in where, like, Bahrain and Yemen and Algeria.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all over. It's all over the whole, like, Arabic world, I guess, Arabic-speaking world. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it's crazy because the world sort of runs on oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, a lot of this stuff is basically causing instability in the oil market. And
are gas prices up there?
Yeah, they are. They are. I guess.
Like, how much is a gallon of gas now?
It's like $3.50.
Alright.
And I guess I just, you know, there's some, I read some article about how gas just went over $100 a barrel again.
Wow.
Because I guess, you know, Libya only supplies apparently 2% of the world's oil, but. But I guess that's enough for people to get, you know, worried. And then Egypt supplies a pretty significant amount of oil, I guess. And then, but all these people, like, you know, I mean, basically, if any of these guys fall, then that's just a chunk of the world's oil that goes away. And that could cause problems in the rest of the world. Or, you know, it could cause problems for the country itself, where so much of the stability of the country is based on a revenue stream that's no longer there.
maybe we'll have to go back to whale oil.
Maybe. Say goodbye to the whales.
No, we'll just clone them in bats.
Seems like you need a lot of whales.
You need a lot of a big vat. A really big vat.
The oceans would be the vat.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe we could be whale farmers.
Yeah, whale farmers. And like, how big would your farm it to be? Like, we're talking like in thousands of acres, right? Like, you'd need a million acres.
You pretty much need the whole ocean.
Yeah.
So, but then you could just see as like ships came floating by, you could be like, hey you, get off of my whale farm. Anyway, I think I gotta eat dinner.
Okay.
It's been good. This is the Irregular Search for Truth. I'm Scott.
And I'm Sachin.
Good night, people.
Good night.